Amen. How is everybody? One by one, we'll go around the room and ask. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share in this series of miracles. How many feel like you've had a miracle in your life? It could have been big, it could have been little, but it miraculous. Miracles defined is a surprising and unexpected event that cannot be explained by scientific or natural laws and is considered the work of the divine, of God. Should we do that again? Think about it. A miracle is a surprising and unexpected event that cannot be explained by scientific or natural laws and is considered the work of the divine, of God. So this is what we're talking about. Today I want to talk about the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I want to look at a couple of the characters in this play. When I was reading through it, it began to look like a play, you know, act one, act two, act three. I can't get through all of that, so we'll just leave it the introduction. Let's read this together. It's quite lengthy, and I promise I'm not going to cover all of it. I just have to jump around a little bit. But we need to get the feel of the story of how God came about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so let's start in chapter 11 and begin reading. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, whom you love is ill." And when Jesus heard it, he said, "The illness does not lead us to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified." That's important to understand, is that this miracle that Jesus is going to perform or do is that it's to glorify God. There's no other reason for it happening than to have God be glorified in front of his disciples and in front of his followers and in front of unbelieving Jews. He did this. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And it was just, many believed after that when they saw that. Verse 8, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews are just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "But our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I go to wake him up." Now the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. So the disciples at this point in time don't get what Jesus is doing. They think he's been called to wake up Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus is just sleeping too hard." My wife does that. I mean, I'm sleeping in my recliner. She just can't wake me up. And of course, when I am awake, you know, I just feel like that I've been resting. with wrappings around my body and so forth. Then, verse 14, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, he called his twin brother, and said, so that you may believe. You know, they called the twin to his fellow disciples, and he said, let us go that we may die with him. So Thomas hasn't gotten it for a long time. He was the one that said, the Lord told Thomas to put his hand in the Lord's side where it was stabbed, and then touch the wounds in his hands and believe. So Thomas was a little slow in the upstart and not quite sure what Jesus was up to, but he said, let us go and may we die with him. Now when the Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. I think it's interesting that Martha is like a doer. She just, you know, something about Jesus, she rushes to it. And Mary's not necessarily sedated. She just is a little calmer about the situation and I think had a deeper understanding and relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't know if I covered this first. Now, when Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. In other words, he wasn't that far away when it happened. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to consider them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're almost there. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher's here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary quickly go out, they followed her, supporting that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him, because of them. Said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept him from dying? My glasses, I can't hardly see the print. I grabbed the wrong pair. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, to come to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time will be a bad odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, and that they may believe you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And when he had said these things, the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let it go. All right, that's what we're going to go that far. What we see in this story, which I think it's a long passage and it's a long story, but it leads up to why was Jesus doing this? What was the purpose of him, every action that he did? He was told that Lazarus was ill, but he also knew that the illness really was Lazarus was dying as well. And the reason he gives a couple of times is that it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So this resurrection was not about any one person. It was about God displaying his glory so that they would recognize the Son of God and that he would be glorified too. God said, God did not make Lazarus sick, but he used the sickness in order to bring glory to himself. He did make use of it through to demonstrate that Jesus himself was indeed the Son of God. This is important because I think some people have read that Jesus said, just the opposite. God made Lazarus sick and dead so that Jesus would raise him up. But it was the point of it was God made him sick. And it really doesn't say that. It says Lazarus was ill, and that it was leading to death. And so what God's going to do is bring life into the situation. I think another aspect of this is that this is a training period for the disciples. He wants the disciples to see the glory of God and see that Jesus certainly is the Son of God. These are the men that he's had with him, and they're the ones that are going to take the message out to the world. And they need assurance. They need to believe. And Jesus said this in a couple places in here. And And that's why he raised Lazarus from the dead. There were times when God is putting off all the pieces together. Let me read again. There are times when God is putting all the pieces together to bring about an answer to your request. We may not understand why he does what he does, how he does it, and how his, but he is at work doing it. So when we pray and believe for a miracle, prayers and just asking God for whatever it is that you need and you believe that it's his will for you to have it, stay there, stay persistent in believing for what you've prayed for. Because what's going on is God is getting all the things in line so that it would happen. He brought the disciples in. He brought Mary and Martha in. He brought other Jews in that kind of followed what was going on. Some of them understood about the Jewish understanding of resurrection and so forth. But he's working behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden, boom, this miracle happens. And that's, to me, is, don't get discouraged if there's time that goes by when you're praying something. I don't know if I will make a new couple with the baby. They were sitting back there, but they must have had it going to the nursery. But they were looking for a home. They just moved down in this area. And they were looking, and they looked and looked and looked. And the congregation on the prayer list received a prayer request from them. And I was on the prayer team, I believe it was last week. And they came up to us and said that they just need a house of their own. And they had looked around and there was just nothing open for them. And so we prayed, God, we prayed to supply them a home. And, it was a little bit more verbiage to that, but that's what we prayed. And that week, she contacted Jill. Jill put it out on the prayer things that they got a home. Whatever else was blocking it, but they did get that home that they were looking for. So, amen. So I don't know where I'm at with the scriptures, but Lazarus is dead by now. Jesus had deliberately waited for Lazarus to die, knowing he was going to raise him up again. The action of waiting until he was dead and being nowhere near the situation would help solidify the disciples' faith. So once again, something is going on with God in working with his disciples, solidifying their faith. And because they're going to take over. Jesus is leaving, and he's going to pour out his spirit, and he'll always be with us in that way. But he gave the authority and the power, and my all authority in heaven is yours to go out and be a witness, be a testimony to the Lord Jesus, and demonstrate his glory as God calls us to it. Jesus knew the intensity of the spiritual battle that the disciples would face after he departed, and he was demonstrating the extent of his authority and power that the disciples would soon possess to continue the spread of the kingdom of God. So he was training them, he was equipping them, and he does the same for us. He's training us as we live this life and continue to let him be in your heart and work with him and hear his voice. He's working something out for you, for the kingdom of God. He's solidifying our faith so that we would be workers of the kingdom of God. I want to look at Martha and Mary. Martha heard that Jesus was coming, so she skedaddles. I mean, she went right away, but Mary remained seated in her house. But eventually she went when Martha came back and said that Jesus was there. Mary went, and they both said to the Lord, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now in John 11, 28 through 37, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher's here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she arose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. These people, the Jews that were following her, consoling her, it was common doing for that, but they weren't related, and they weren't really connected. They weren't family. They're almost professional weepers that would come and weep with the person left behind. And it's just kind of strange. I don't know how to relate to that. Maybe we can start one of those ministries where we just have weepers. So anyway, in John 11, 28 to 37, when she said, she's already gone there. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved, and his spirit was greatly troubled. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then we have the famous statement that Jesus wept. It's the shortest Bible verse. People say, "Jesus wept." What's going on with this, with Jesus at this time? Is it just an emotional thing that's going on? Is he really seeing? He knows Lazarus is going to rise from the dead. So is the weeping brought on by looking at the other people who are weeping and he got to them? Or what is going on with him? And I think that it's interesting. It says that he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled or agitated. And it wasn't about the weepers. That sounded like a title to a band or something, the weepers. It wasn't about the weepers, and it wasn't about people crying or even Mary and them crying. I believe that Jesus was so moved that he was praying to the Lord. He was praying to God in the midst of the tears and being greatly agitated in his spirit. I believe that it was a form of intercession that he couldn't express himself any other way. I think in Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Now, I'm not suggesting speaking in tongues. I'm saying there's a groaning. There's something that it just gets in you, and you have to express it to the Lord. The will of God and things of God just build in your spirit, and you're agitated. You want to release that and intercede for that. And I believe that's what was going on with Jesus weeping. Because like I say, he knows that Lazarus is going to be risen. I can see that he would have empathy for the weepers and the Martha and Mary. In John 11, 38 through 44, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, I imagine, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And again, this idea that, Father, I thank you that you heard me. When did he pray? He heard the Father. When did he pray for that situation? That's what makes me believe that this deep groaning and weeping, It can be nonverbal. There's not necessarily even something that has to be expressed. It just have that in your heart, and you just go maybe and sit and meditate on it and pray to God and ask him. And I really believe that being deeply moved in his heart again, he was praying. Or had prayed. And so he's about to do something. So by this time, Lord, by this time, there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And this is the whole purpose of this death and resurrection. Death and being woken up, made alive again. Because Lazarus died later. So this wasn't the type of resurrection where he's going to live now forever or, you know, whatever. Lazarus brought back to life, probably went back to doing what he was doing for work and whatever, and followed Jesus at times, but there came a point in time where he was, where he died. So it's not a lasting thing. It would be kind of frustrating, you know, if you died and were laying in paradise somewhere, and then you get resurrected, and you're like, oh man, the economy isn't any good anymore. So the, you know, oh. So it could, anyway, that was what was happening, that they may believe that you sent me. The man who died came, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. So again, the purpose about the miracle we bring before the people is to bring glory to himself as the Son of God. I know that sounds strange, but it was the plan of God that Jesus would be glorified. You know, look at that, raise this person from the dead. I'm the Son of God. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. And you can see that now. Some thoughts about the episode of raising Lazarus from the dead is that he demonstrated that he was the Son of God. He showed that he has authority. For the devil's been defeated, it will be defeated, and Satan's rule will be defeated as Jesus dies and rises again. But he did show the authority of God, who's boss. He showed everyone who's boss here. And of course, saw that through Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, we're all commissioned and sent out, and he's supplied us with authority and power, and called us to basically continue what Jesus started. And that's really what the book of Acts is about, is a continuation of the story of what Luke had written. And it begins to show you how Jesus and what he accomplished, we begin to move out into the world and touch lives. And I'm not suggesting that you go out and try to do a miracle and, you know, they believe because of that. A good card trick would, you know, maybe mess them up, but... But we are of the same stock that they were back then. We got to believe. And Jesus has a deep love and compassion for his people. He did weep with them and whatever that was about. But Martha said, but even now I know that you... that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. So she had a confidence that whatever he was going to do, God will give it to him. So we also need to know that Jesus intercedes for us. He's praying for us through the prayers of the saints and, you know, those that pray for others. So we see that in this resurrection scenario that he prays for us to get out from the situation that we're in. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles as the need arises. Don't be afraid to ask. This is a big deal to me. And I hope at the end of saying it, somebody says, big deal. But just kidding. But I have various things going on in my body as I went through a lot of tests and stuff. And one of them, they need to do some kind of, I forget what it is. It's just, I have a trembling, you know, that I tremble in my right hand, and my left hand is starting to do it more. And it's not, what is that disease? What? Yeah, something like that. It's not that, it's called an essential tremor. And it comes from a spot in the brain that causes it. I don't know what triggers it. But they can do an operation, they can drill down in your head and take out a piece of brain. And you know, you can't walk or talk anymore, but you don't tremble. But anyway, that's not it. I have all this junk going on in my body, and insurance has been pretty good in covering the tests and stuff that I've had. But this last thing that the doctor feels I should be taking, my insurance won't cover it. And it's like $1,000 in cash. And I said, there's no way I can do this. I'm not going to do this. It'd be $1,000 a month. They give you a month's supply. And I just cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, we got to fix this. We can't do this. And so I was talking to different, my finance person. She gives me a lot of counsel. And she tried to get a hold of my insurance company and be an advocate for me. That didn't work and fell through. But then my doctor told me to try a direct connect with the company that produces it. And I've never done that before, but I did it. And they got it down to $300. From $1,000 to $300. To me, that's a miracle. That people would move in whatever direction that God moves people to so that you can survive. So now that I've said that, I'll take up an offering now for $300. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles as the need arises. Jesus is compassionate for his people. Jesus responds to the cry of the heart of his people. Jesus is Lord over creation. Miracles are good advertisement for God. Amen. Amen. Now, a couple questions. I think they're on the back of the bulletin, but they're good questions. Just one is, what does the miracle reveal about his kingdom? How does this miracle connect with my life at this time? How does this challenge or strengthen my faith in God? Why this miracle then? Why there? Why in that way? Those are good questions. What do we need to see beyond the miracle, and what spiritual revelation did it give us? I believe it showed us, it accomplished what Jesus wanted it to accomplish, and that is he wanted his disciples to have a deeper faith, and he wanted Mary and Martha, obviously, to have a deeper faith. He wanted to confirm his authority on the earth, that he certainly is the Son of God. And that was it. To raise Lazarus from the dead would have been wonderful to be there. You know, hopefully you don't have a seat way up and you can't see the platform, but I mean, it would have been great to be there and see that. And I'm sure that if it had happened, I would believe afterwards. So it was a miracle. And God does miracles still. So you can expect one, you can pray for one, but give them time to get it together. And he's dealing with people with free will, so he may be speaking to somebody to do something, but they refuse to. So he'll move on to someone else, lead them and guide them, and it just kind of continues until, you know, he touches a heart and a miracle's done in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for miracles. And Lord, we're impressed with them throughout the scriptures. We know that you are a big God, gracious God, and that you have done miracles all throughout the history of the church world, and that you're still in the miracle business. So, Lord, we just pray that our faith has been increased as we read what has happened in your ministry, Jesus, in performing miracles. May we be a believer, and may we look for that and not be afraid to ask you. Father, I commit this word to you and ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name.